Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryankara Vavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Virvishavahai Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so then we have here he's divided into five different essences. So, first, the three shloki, the essence of Vedanta in three verses. The second, the chatur shloki, the essence of God realization in four verses. Then the third and fourth, the Gita Rahasya and the charan shloki, the essence of devotion, the essence of surrender. And the fifth essence is the essence of spiritual endeavor. Okay. So first essence.
All right. So there's only 10 verses, right? Not 11 verses.
I always heard 11, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, 10. Not 11. The first essence, Tri Shloki Gita. Bhagavad Gita 15, 16 to 18. The essence of Vedanta of three verses. Yes, he put this together. Maybe, I'm not sure back in the... not sure when, 90s or 80s.
The previous one was Prabhupada?
The previous one was Prabhupada. Although it was previous to three parts, and then that last section on the nature of Godhead, that was all Prabhupada. As already explained, I'll focus on the purport, 15, 16. As already explained, the Lord in his incarnation as Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. Here the Lord is giving, in summary, the contents of the Vedanta Sutra. Notes. From teachings of Lord Chaitanya, 19, any book that deals with conclusive Vedic knowledge is called Vedanta. So conclusive means it connects it back to the Lord. Right? That's because the end of knowledge is the Lord. Right? That makes it Vedanta. 2, quotation from Light of the Bhagavad. The Supreme Spiritual Master, Lord Sri Krishna, teaches the import of the Vedas in the following verse of Bhagavad Gita, 15:16. Dvavimau, the Lord says that in the Vedas it is mentioned there are two kinds of living beings, called the fallible and the infallible. Those living entities who are materially encaged are all fallible, whereas those who are not conditioned and who are eternally situated in the spiritual world are called akshar, or infallible. The Lord then says, besides these innumerable fallible and infallible living beings, there is another, superior personality, known as the Paramatma. He pervades all the three worlds and exists as the Supreme Controller. And because I, Lord Sri Krishna, am transcendental to all of them, even those who are infallible, I am known in all the Vedas and histories, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Ramayana, etc., as the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Gita 15, 17-18. 3. From teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 19. Vedanta Sutra teaches Sambandha, the relationship of the living entities and the Supreme Lord, in the first two chapters. Abhiteya, service to the Lord, in the third chapter. And Prayojana, the relationship that develops out of service, in the fourth chapter. The living entities are eternally separated parts and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they are in contact with the material world, they are called jiva-bhuta. And the Sanskrit words given here, kshara, sarvani, bhutani, mean that they are fallible. Notes. Fallible means subject to failure or defective. Vedanta or Vedic knowledge is not defective because it does not originate from conditioned souls who are subject to four defects. its origin is the infallible Lord and his infallible servants in the succession. Because right? Infallible means it has to be connected back to God. It's understanding of him. So as previous study was there, is that God can only be known through his own instruction, or that instruction of his coming down through the great personalities, right? through the spiritual teachers. Because from the material platform, one cannot connect back to God. As we said, there's problems with time and space. There's problems with the four defects. Right? There's problems with the controller and enjoyer. Right? The concept of I'm not the controller and enjoyer is very foreign. So if we say, okay, you have your regular, ordinary person, he's going on his material life. So if you have someone who's more engaged in that, it's understandable, maybe extreme, but understandable. And then you have somebody who's, you know, not so connected with life and, you know, thinking of something beyond or something metaphysical. Then that's, you know, also it's there. You know, or if somebody's extremely into that, then, okay, it's okay, but it's a bit extreme. But all of that range of karma and jnana is still material. Right? So that's the point will be, is that, so for to contact spiritual means it has to come from the Lord. So Vedanta means it descends from the Lord. That's the only way it is. Right? So therefore anything that starts here cannot get to the Lord. It has to descend. Like that. So anything from here, no matter how wonderful it is still fallible, because it doesn't connect to the Lord. Right, you have amazing things that they make in the world, but what's this connection with the Lord? Mm. Like, you know, like Sariputta's book, there's that they have a crystal skull, right? It's so perfectly finished, they can't find any marks on it. You know, like some kind of filing or any kind of tool or implement. And so they say that they can't do that today. It's such perfect work that even today with the most modern tools, they couldn't make that with that finishing. So the point is even though that's something so amazing, you know, or the pyramids or whatever it is they consider, but what's his connection to the Lord? Mm. So it's still fallible. Mm. Right? Because fallible means it's not connected back to the Lord, you know, through the parampara. Quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4.26.7. The Vedic instructions are different because they do not have these four defects. Vedic instructions are not subject to mistakes. The knowledge of the Vedas is knowledge received directly from God. And there is consequently no question of illusion, cheating, mistakes, or imperfect senses. All Vedic knowledge is perfect because it is received directly from God by the parampara, the disciplic succession, right? So that's how Krishna said the knowledge will only come in this way. So the Vedic knowledge given in the parampara, that's perfect. Because it's knowledge given by God, it's coming down through the acharyas. So it doesn't have these four mistakes, illusion, right? Cheating, mistakes, and imperfect senses. 2. The fallible living entity is ignorant of Krishna due to his bewilderment by the three modes of material nature. 7.13. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. 3. Fallible soul means conditioned soul. The modes of nature condition fallible souls to duality and repeated birth and death. Gita 7.27. O Skaina Bharata, O conqueror of the fold, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. In 13.22, the living entity in the material world thus follows the way of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. 4. Fallible forms of karma, jnana, and bhakti are generated by the three modes of material nature. You can see that the actual place to put this would be probably, it depends as we go through it, possibly at the end of the first year. Because now after going through the analysis here, there's nothing to discuss.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice to meet.
Yeah. No, they're saying there'd be more of a discussion if you did at the end of the first year, because you're just introducing the concept of analysis. Fallible forms of karma, jnana, and bhakti are generated by the three modes of material nature. Right? Because karma, jnana, if they're done properly, then they're all part of bhakti. But at the same time, bhakti, anything that is fallible within bhakti, or the mixture, is generated by the modes. Bhagavad Gita 3:27, fallible karma. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Right? So he thinks he's doing it, but it's not. It's being done by the modes. When you know it's done by the modes, then it becomes infallible. Right? So it's not that something goes on in the world, because otherwise you have the problem that we'll think that, oh, if we say the modes of nature are doing it, then it's, no, they can't be doing it because it's devotional service. But the modes of nature are just the mechanics. Just like the car is getting you from point A to point B, you may be going for a preaching program, but still the mechanics of the car are getting you there. Right? But because you've connected to Krishna, now it's infallible. Right? So the material mechanics, they're not what's fallible or infallible. The fallible part is due to false ego. He thinks it's a doer of activities, but it's actually the modes carry it out. Right? But if you understand that, no one's worried that the modes are carrying it out. It's not that you offer, you know, something to Krishna, and Krishna goes, well, that's nice, you know, nice sentiment, but actually the modes of nature arranged all that, so, you know, what did you do?
The modes get the blessings.
Yeah, and the modes get all the blessings and all that, you know. So Maya is very well blessed.
Yes.
Yeah, like that, you know. That's why she's so good.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
But the point is that it's taken that you wanted to be involved in that, and you're using that for Krishna, therefore it's infallible. You know, so we don't care if the modes of nature are carrying it out, or Sandini, Samvini, and Vladini potencies are carrying it out. That's how the mechanics work. The point is, it's devotion because you use it for Krishna. Does that make sense? 7:24, fallible jnana. Unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed the personality, this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. Right? So here is that they have knowledge, and they're very intelligent, but unfortunately they're unable to use it. Right? They're unable to use it. Right? Same thing, because of their false ego, then they think that they are the knowers. The other thinks he's the doer, and they think they're the knowers. You know, I know all, and the other thinks I do all. Right? So fallible bhakti, 7:20. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. So there's a devotion to the demigod, but it's not real devotion. Because it doesn't connect to the Lord. Right? It still has to connect back.
Can we call mixed devotion service?
Mixed devotion means the part that is mixed is fallible. That's what it's mixed with. In other words, pure bhakti is mixed with something material. So that's what it's called. It's just that he's working off the terms of the verses. So in other words, the Vedanta will use this element about the fallible and infallible. You know, because it's giving just those essences. So the dasamul, then it'll define the living entity, you know, the nature of the soul, and then it will define the conditioned soul and the liberated soul. Right? So then we're working with that, because it's just that. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of, from this language, then we view all those other aspects. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of being able to appreciate the varieties of terminologies or examples that one can use to explain the same thing. You know, so the idea is that then this is what you call vichars, that you look at it from so many different angles that it starts to, you get a broader understanding or deeper understanding. Okay. So here, I would say is what he's taking here is that bhakti, jnana, and karma are all part of the devotional process. So when they're functioning in the conditioned state, then they're going to be these three. So even here, it's not even, I don't think, meaning that it's mixed devotional service. It's just the concept of bhakti and worship, and then by that getting blessings and progressing is being applied to the demigods rather than the Krishna. You know, just like knowledge, which meant supposed to be for understanding God, is only used to understand the material phenomena. Right? And then activities are meant to please God, engage the senses, but they're using them just for their own purpose. Is that? Varnashram Dharma, number five. Varnashram Dharma is created by Krishna for fallible human beings, but he is ever infallible. 4.13. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that I am yet the non-doer, being unchangeable. Right? So, Varnashram, in the form that it's given to us, is based on engaging the conditioned nature. And it's not talking starting from our spiritual, starting from the condition, and how that conditioned nature can be used in line with our constitutional nature. Because the constitutional nature is to serve God, but we have a tendency to not do that, to serve ourselves, to serve our own purposes. So this way, then, we are able to engage the facilities we have for that transcendental purpose. Does that make sense? But the principles of the Varnashram system, those are the same as in the spiritual world. Just that you have to get into some more mechanics here. But the interesting thing to note is, even though the practice will only be, you know, what they'll use in the spiritual world, right, which doesn't have any all these side problems and difficulties. Like the whole mantra, as we go through it, the volume that's there, you know, just the particular straightforward uplifting cultural elements, you know, and some basic restrictions will be there. That's all that'll be there. So you could say that the whole thing, at least in Vrindavan, gets cut down to probably, you know, like a tenth or something. Now you add Dwarka, then you have the element of the court in that, so you add a little bit more. But in discussion, even in the spiritual world, they'll be quoting from the scripture as it's applied here. In other words, the Veda, as it is manifest here. So it is what is discussed there. You understand? It's not that it's there and then it comes here. No, it's manifest here. And so the discussions are there. Does this make some sense? In other words, Krishna means the Boma Lila and the Golok Lila are the same. Right? Same people, you know. Like that, same situations, everything. But how he views, even in Golok Lila, he views things as if it's Gokul. Because Gokul has the element that you're interfacing with the material phenomena. Right? Does that make sense? You know, there's a concept, like in Vrindavan, there's a concept of demons, so there aren't any in Goloka. Right? There's a concept of husbands, but there aren't any. Right? So the feeling is there. It's enough to generate the pastime, but you don't actually have to deal with them. But the discussion is, as always, as if it's all there. Does that make sense? So he's always in that mood.
It seems counterintuitive.
Counterintuitive.
It seems like that in the spiritual world, in the highest place, they are discussing material things.
They're not discussing material things, because it's all connected to Krishna. It's just accommodating all these aspects. You know what I'm saying? In the spiritual world, they don't have any problems. Right? You know, there's no case of anybody being immoral there. You know what I'm saying? But there's still the restrictions are discussed.
What for?
Otherwise, what do you do all day?
Enjoy.
You ever tried that? How long do you last on a vacation?
I don't last long.
Yeah. So, in other words, the concept that it'll always be so goody-goody and wonderful, it's not a reality.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? So therefore, you have these other things to discuss.
For me, what's hard to understand is that part that they are kind of illusion about the things that demons, husbands, and everything.
So
they know and they don't know. It's like in the play. The actor.
So the thing is do you enjoy plays? A good play.
I'm just saying,
do you enjoy a play?
Yeah.
So if it's very obvious that, oh, that's so-and-so's father over there playing that part, so is it going to be a good play? No. If it's so good that you can't really even tell, or even if it is, you would never realize that, expect that from them. So the more illusion that's produced, the better it is. Okay, let's try another one. Let us say Prabhu, you know, for some good reason, you know, it's Monday. It's a Monday gift. Okay? He just walks in with a bottle of nice perfume, good quality perfume, and gives it to him. Nice, right? Now, what happens if that bottle was still in the box and that box was unopened?
Oh, much better.
Yeah. Now, what happens if that box that's unopened, you know, has a ribbon on it and stuff like that? And then, let's say we take it further, it's put into a very fancy bag from some very fancy shop, you know, nice, colorful thing like that. Right? It gets better and better. The more you cover it, it gets better. Do you understand? Yeah, and then, okay, you happen to be, you know, sitting there in the bathroom, you know, doing whatever you're doing, the door happens to part, and then he opens the door and hands it to you, okay? So it's nice, you got it, but wouldn't it be better if it was in a nicer situation? Right? Then you can have some very special situation, right? You know, a dinner or something like this. You understand, the more you add to it, the better it gets. So what you could say is we're just adding illusion. Hey, it's just a bottle of perfume. And that, you know, he could have taken the perfume out of that fancy, crystally thing and poured it into some other little plastic spray bottle and given it to you. It's still the same thing. It smells the same. You know what I'm saying? But it's the idea that this one has this shape and that one has that one and this has this top and that one and this is this color, that color. You know what I'm saying? But if you look on the thing, the first point, the first ingredient mentioned is aqua. So they're mainly water. You know what I'm saying? So it's all these different colored, nice smelling water. You know what I'm saying? So the more that you put onto it, like, and that's another thing. Let's say you went out and if the perfume, you know, it's costing $120, but actually it's probably worth about 10.
Yes.
Like that. So now, you know, he paid $10 for it. You know what I'm saying? But he pays $120 for it. Man, you understand? Same thing. You understand? So you understand what's being added here? Every time we're adding layers and layers of illusion. That's the point. Is if it's connected with Krishna, it's yoga maya. If it's not connected with Krishna, that's mahamaya. Someone connects you more to Krishna, it just completely envelops you in that affection for Krishna. The other one just envelops you in the, you know, the material phenomena. You understand? So the concept of maya, that's not the problem. It's whether it's yoga maya or mahamaya. That's the point. You understand? Because if you want it as it is, you know, just direct, right there, you know, something, you know, the goths and punks would all be going, like this. Then that would be the verses where Krishna reveals the unadulterated universal form. So, how is our truth body doing over here? You understand? The point is it's properly applied, you know, illusion that makes things attractive. But the point is that Krishna is attractive and is perfect. That's real. But still, the interactions are, you add all these little things to them. You know what I'm saying? In the spiritual world, it's eternal. You're going to live forever. So everyone could just sit around. You know, in fact, what do you need bodies for? You just, you know, float around. You understand? So that's the impersonal concept. No, but they have all these things. They have their architecture and their houses and their form. Why do they need a schedule? Everything's perfect. Why do they have to get up in the Brahma Muhurta, right? They're already perfected soul. Oh, you didn't know that. Oh, sorry. I have to do all this sadhu here. Go back to God. I can sleep in. Yeah, no, you got to get up.
What's the point?
Difference is they like to get up there because they get up because they want to see Krishna. Right? That means all the gopis are up because they want to see when Radha and Krishna wake up. Then when Krishna and Radharani go home, then their parents are all up because they want to see them first thing when they get up. And then all the cowherd boys and cowherd girls, the young ones, they all want to get up so they can also see. You know, the cows are all there. The birds spent the night just at the edge of the village, right? They don't go back to there. They sit at the edge of the village, and then when Krishna, Balaram, and the cows come out, then they go with them into the forest, and then they're all around, and then when they go back to Vrindavan, they go back with them and just sleep in the trees there. So everybody wants to be there for that first darshan, right? So that's why it's part of our sadhana that you do that, because that's what they do. That's what I mean. Our sadhana is only of what they do in the spiritual world, but it's given to us in the form of rules and regulations so that it matches our conditioning. It's not that varnashram is itself, the concept, a conditional thing. No, that it's something that you have to do and this and that because it's your conditioning. It's your conditioning. That's addressing the fallible. Because in the spiritual world, they do that because that's their nature. Because their nature is based on their rasa. Right? Mother Yashoda has the rasa with Krishna being parent. Therefore, she has an elder gopi form. Right? So in other words, you're not starting with the form, you're starting with the rasa. Then the form is manifest. Right? Well, here you're starting with the conditioning. And because of that conditioning, then you say that the form manifests. But that's the reflection is the material, but if we want to make spiritual, we're starting with the gross form. We're engaging that with the idea of getting back to our original rasa. You know what I'm saying? So the mechanics, how it works, are exactly the same, because in the mirror it works the same way. You know what I'm saying? And then you raise your hand and the mirror goes up. It's not that you raise it and it goes down. You know, it's not like that. You know, it's
only if you're a counselor, right? And then he sees some parts of his face disappearing.
Yeah, well, that's there. If that's happening, then you either need to go back to sleep or you got problems. Yeah. Wake up, go in the morning, you know, wash, you know, get toothbrushes. There's no head. Then you got a problem. You might as well go back to bed. That would be freaky, wouldn't it? Look in the mirror. Everything else is there, but there's no head, you know. And look this way, polish the thing. You know, it's not showing up. Okay. And though he's the creator of the system, he's a non-doer. He's not involved. We're doing it. I mean, we have the desire, the modes of nature carrying it out. And then according to what it is we got carried out, then we get the response from that, mixed with our future desires. Because it means the modes of nature always giving to you the results of your past endeavor as a situation you're in at present. And then your free will, your desire, is then what you do with that. So what you can do is based on what the situation, what your previous ability is. I mean, it means reactions are. So that combination just continues the whole process. So Krishna's not involved. He's set up the system. He's authorized. He gives the power for the system, but it's run because we do. That's why that verse is saying that the living entities are maintaining the universe. And we'll say, no, but Vishnu's maintaining. Yes, he's maintaining the universe, but why the universe is doing what it's doing, that's going on by the living entities.
Yeah. Yes. For the devotees, Krishna, he says he preserves and also he uses the karma, he uses the karma that we have in our conditioned bodies. But he adjusts it, or she adjusts it, according to our...
If there's a value in adjusting it, then it'll be adjusted. If there's not, it won't.
I remember when we joined...
Just like, let's say, if you're sick, then you take a particular medicine. Even if you're being extremely devotional, you're still sick, you take the medicine.
No, if you take it, if you're a devotee, you shouldn't be sick at all.
Why shouldn't you be sick? The devotee is the soul, so since when is the body the devotee? So the body, it's going to be healthy or sick, that's just the nature of that body.
That's what I'm asking. So the karma continues. Just because I remember devotees used to say, if you cut your finger, if you were not a devotee, you would have cut your head, something like that.
Oh, we always heard arm. So finger was connected with arm. I guess the Middle Eastern, they go more for head. That's the standard over there.
So whatever you cut.
That's the answer.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Toe.
Finger hand. Elbow hand. Yeah, it works.
So...
That's just what I'm saying. Is so if the disease is reduced, then there's no need for the medicine. So it's not how devotional you are, it's whether there's a sickness or not. Does that make sense? You're chanting 16 rounds, you don't take medicine. You're chanting 16 rounds and you have a fever, you take medicine. You know, you're chanting 16 rounds and the fever's gone, you don't take medicine. You understand? So the point is if there is material disease, then the reactions of karma are to correct that. They're like the medicine for. But the point is the person in illusion never, or generally never sees them in connection with. So they don't correct themselves. Even if they do, they're pious enough to see them in connection with bad karma. So then they make a point to perform proper karma, right? But still, if it's not connected to Krishna, they're still bound in the material world, right? So it's still not really a solution, right? So for the devotee, if there is something still to be learned from that reaction, that situation, that will remain. If it's basically most has been learned, only a little bit is needed to be learned, then the reaction will be a little bit. Therefore, the finger. Does that make sense? You know, in other words, you don't learn a lot from having your head cut off. You may get extremely purified, but it's not that you learn a lot. You know, it's not like, you know, your head is sitting there and it's going, well, you know, what can we learn from this?
To be or not to be.
Yeah, definitely. Can you hold a little higher there? Shot here. Does that make some sense? Okay. So he's unchangeable, right? Because we'll change. The conditioning is there. The conditioning changes, right? It gets more impure, gets less impure. Changes his bodies according to, you know, whatever it is, and gets that according to the position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always changing. So that's another point of fallible. Fallible means changing. So if it's bhakti and it's always changing, it's not real bhakti. If it's jnana and it's changing, it's karma is changing. It's not real because it should be karma for Krishna. It's eternal. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is connected to Krishna. It's eternal. Bhakti is connected to Krishna. It's eternal.
Alright. So Lord, he doesn't change, and his energies, it appears that they do change.
There's variety, but they don't change. Because it's like, let us say you have this body, you can do so many different things, but the body changes. Then you can't do those things. You know what I'm saying? So Maya, you know, she can manage the three modes of nature today. She was doing it yesterday, she'll be doing it tomorrow. So that's not changing. The situations that they manifest, those are changing. That's variety, right? So if the variety is in connection with the Lord, then there's no problem. If the variety is not in connection with the Lord, then that's where the problem is.
Yeah, but the other day you mentioned that the prototype of sattva, rajas, and tamas, they exist in the spiritual world.
Yeah, sundini, sambandhi.
Just in a different form.
Yeah. So they come, but the thing is, it's just like here, you don't distinguish in a regular performance of activities that this part is goodness, this part is passion, this part is ignorance. Like, I'm cutting the potatoes, so let's say, I'm creating new forms of potato, that's the mode of passionate work. But I'm destroying the old form, so that's the mode of ignorance. Right? But I'm doing it in a clean state and all that for, you know, it means according to the rules, that's the mode of goodness, because I'm in the present. Right? Now that's why I'm not cutting my finger. Right? Because you generally cut your finger if you're in the present or past. Right? You know? I mean future or past. And that I'm doing it for Krishna, it's devotional. So it's pure goodness. You know, pure goodness. So all those things, we're not looking at all that. We're looking at, you know, the potatoes being cut and what's going to happen. So in the spiritual world also is that it's not worried what part Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini are taken care of. That's all going on. Krishna doesn't make that distinction. He just sees the pastime. Not that you can't, but it's just, it kind of takes some of the fun out of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So for us, everything under the moon, and for Krishna, everything is Sandini and Sambit.
Yeah, it means But the point is, if you are working under yoga maya, then it's being done by those three, but they're still going to act through the modes of nature, because that's the material you're working with.
Yeah, I just
you understand? Means if you have if the hand moves in the mirror, what's actually moved it?
The original
hand, yes. But there's some mechanics within the mirror that's functioning. It's moving from this little particle of the mirror to that particle, and you know. So there's some elements of the mirror. So what's working in the mirror? That's the three modes of nature. What's working in the original? That's the Sambit, Sandini, Ladini. Does that make sense? So if the pure devotee is here, and he's within what we would call a body made of the material elements. But it's not material because he's working under yoga maya. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it's not that the modes of nature aren't arranging the things. But it's not mahamaya who's arranging, it's yoga maya who's arranging it. Since they're the same person.
Yeah, for us it appears the same.
It appears the same because we're only looking at the external. Just like Shankachuda, all those girls look the same also. They look like something, hey, check it out. You know what I'm saying? He's not looking at it, wow, these are, you know, Sachidananda girls, so I shouldn't mess with them. He just sees, hey, they're girls, you know, and that's all.
So it's a question of medium, right?
What we're talking here is the medium, but the point is what makes the difference between the spiritual material is the consciousness. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's not the medium that's important, it's the consciousness. Because the medium can be either on the medium can be the material, the inferior energy, or the medium can be the superior energy. But if the consciousness is not right, you'll get the opposite effect. Well, it may be working with superior potency, but the consciousness is material. The effect you'll get is material. And you're working with the external energy, but your consciousness is spiritual. Then you get spiritual effect. It's as we're saying, it's the same person. Yogamaya and Mahamaya are the same person, two offices. But it's just with one office, she manifests things with the inferior potency, and with one office, she manifests it with the superior potency. So do we catch also a subtlety that's here? Just like Krishna, he's non-different, but he's beyond. Is that the Sarup Shakti is non-different, but is beyond. Mm-hmm. So that's what, this is, you understand? So we're looking at it as internal, external. But actually what it means, if you're discussing those two, you have to look at it from Sarup Shakti. Because it's just, she manifests, means those who are supporting Krishna, she manifests through Yogamaya this. And those who are not, she manifests it this way.
So she's beyond that.
Yeah, because she is all that, but at the same time she's beyond that as a person. I mean, she is the spiritual world, she is the material world, but still, she's a person beyond that. But the difference is that she is energy, so she's dependent upon Krishna, while Krishna is independent. So he is, again, beyond that. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we don't get that much into it. You know, enough to understand that, you know, we're not God. that much is important. But other than that, it's beyond what we can understand.
Is there any scripture, like, you know, explaining all those subtleties, you know, transformation of what it means?
We've come across it so many times. It's worked into the purports. The Acharyas mentioned it. We'll probably see a lot more in the Sandarbhas, because Jiva Goswami very much gets into this energies and the internal, external, all these kind of things. Like his Brahma Samhita purports, I've heard, is very much on this kind of. But generally, devotees don't translate because I guess they can't figure out the relevance.
In the Brahma Samhita, also the language is very difficult.
No, but that's the English. I'm talking about Jiva Goswami's written Sanskrit commentaries on that. So if you have those old, pre 1933 printings of the Brahma Samhita, if you look at the bottom of the, you have this, like what we do, there's a line and below, it's all in Sanskrit. Those are all Jiva Goswami's commentaries. Right? So somehow or another, devotees of, I haven't heard of translating them because they're talking on this level of Vedanta. And so somehow or another, I guess it doesn't have, some reason just they never bother with it. Why, I don't know.
Seems like it.
What about if barn, if he is filled?
Yeah,
but Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, she's functioning in
the field?
No, they are the field.
Most of them?
Yeah, but Mahamaya Sub functions here. in other words, you have Balaram, who is also known as, in connection with this,
Sankarsana,
right? And then you have Mahavishnu, right? Who's expanded from, Mahasankarsana. But he's also known as, he's Mahavishnu, but he's also known as, Sadashiva. Right? Does that make sense? Dvaita Charya, so it's Vishnu Tattva. But at the same time, is if you take the Sadashiva, that's the transformation. Right? And that. So the transformation, what is his wife? Then, is Ramadhi. So she manifests the external. You know what I'm saying? So there's that connection there. So Balaram and Yoga Maya, though Balaram's not connected, means as far as pastime with Yoga Maya, Yoga Maya is connected with Sandipani Muni. Right? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that it's. Because you're dealing with a certain pastime. So Yoga Maya is the old lady there. She's the senior Brahmani in the community. Therefore, she's controlling everything and everybody will respect her. Right? And so, and her husband's not there. Sandipani Muni is not in that pastime. He's connected with the Dwarka pastime, the Mathura pastime. Right? So, but then when you get to Dwarka, then Purnamasi is Subhadra. You understand? I mean, she's Yoga Maya.
Yes.
You understand? So like this, it's just. So there, then she's the sister. And the other, she's there, like she's the, on the the mother level, but being a Brahmin, she's like, Oh no, I think she's. I'm not sure. Maybe she's the. No, yeah, I'm not sure. Now, she's on the grandmother level. So then her daughter, I guess her daughter's son is Madhu Mahal.
Her daughter is
paternal?
Nandimukhi.
But I think Madhu Mangal is Nandimukhi's
son.
Yeah, so that makes her the grandmother. Yeah. So. Yeah, so you understand, you get these kind of the manifestations of that.
Same person.
It's the same person, but it's just a different manifestation. Like Sridham is Radharani's brother. But in, these other leelas that we know him, there is no Radharani, there's no brother. But we have Garuda. You understand? It's the same You know, saying so we get bent out of shape, but you know, there's no Garuda in Vrindavan. No, there is Garuda in Vrindavan. You know what I'm saying? But the other day we had a big complaint about how Arjuna is not in the spiritual world. But he is, but then it's Vishakha. You understand? So it's just, there's these lines. So a certain part of that comes out in this pastime, but it's not the full. Vishakha will be a full manifestation. But Vishakha is just part of the internal potency. You know what I'm saying? That, so that's the point. So that's why only Radharani can fully satisfy Krishna, because she is the complete, total energy. And he's the complete, total energetic. So only they're matched. You know what I'm saying? Because like in Vaikuntha, Vishnu, he's not manifesting all the qualities that Krishna has, or to the extent. So therefore, then Radharani takes the form of Lakshmi, which has the perfect counterpart to that. How much potency he's manifesting is how much she manifests. And how much qualities he's manifesting, that's how much she's manifesting. So they go together. If that transforms into Shiva and Parvati, it's the same thing. Because now you're just dealing with the material world, and that's the spark of Krishna's splendor, so how much does it take to run the place? So therefore, the Shiva is only that much, so she takes that part. Does that make sense? Now is it more clear?
It's part of this.
But don't worry. That's after 2 years. This is the discussion where we get the Brahma Samhita.
This element of it only takes a small part of the energy. Like a very famous actor comes to school to make a small drama.
Yeah. Especially if it's like, you know, third grade or something like that. You know, that's, you don't need to. Yes.
When we say that the soul desires, super soul sanctions, and the modes execute.
Yes.
Where does Maya and Mahamaya, Yoga Maya, fit in?
The modes of nature. It means she's Triguna Mayi. She's the boss of the three modes.
So, but also Maya means forgetfulness of Krishna, failure to see things in connection. So
yeah, but Maya means that which is not.
Yeah.
It means you think I'm the doer, but that's not actually the modes of nature carrying it out. If you understand that, then you're not in Maya. Mm-hmm. Right? But also then the spiritual, Yoga Maya, then it's, it means you're able to appreciate position, but not so much that you can't function in it. You know what I'm saying? So even in Vaikuntha, there has to be some covering of Yoga Maya. Otherwise, you know, God's grace is unlimited, the soul's not. So, you know, the distance between that would be so great, so you have to cover to the degree that there's the commonality becomes more prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you're always working with some Maya, but it's just a matter of whether it's a connection to Krishna or not. Does that work? Or?
But the difference in the spiritual world would be that there's no kind of paramatma sanctioning.
No, there, because there's direct pastimes. He only has to sanction because you're working with, the soul is just here on its own, as it is, 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So that means the whole body and everything is actually made of something else. It's a machine. So that means someone has to manage the machine. Mm-hmm. Right? The soul's not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So then that's all manifest in that way. Well, in the spiritual world, due to the consciousness of the soul, then you manifest that form. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that form is non-different from the soul. So therefore there's no need for it. But then the internal Yoga Maya is arranging it. You know, sambit, sandini, ladini. But you don't worry about that there, because it's all connected with Krishna. Here we only bring it out because by breaking it down, it loses its attractiveness. Like if I have something you know, and we're very attracted to it. So we just got some new gizmo or something. And the person's so attracted, they're, you know, they can't function, they can't do anything. So if I bring my screwdriver and everything, take it apart piece by piece, so there's not one, you know, every screw, everything is all taken, I lay it out on the table. And then the person comes, they'll go, wow, what's this? They won't go, wow, check that out. You know, they'll go, wow, what's this? He says, oh, this is your, what? You know? And then when you realize it's just a bunch of screws and a little bit of this, a couple of rubber bands, some chewing gum, you know, all this kind of stuff like that, a piece of rag, you know, then it's kind of like, oh, it loses something. Does that make sense?
It happens to cars when you see this beautiful car kind of being fixed. It's ugly.
Yeah, the thing's there and it's greasy and there's this greasy guy underneath it and the thing, engine's up here and all the doors are open and there's some guy sitting in the back seat smoking. You know, it's like that. It loses something. You know, expect the door opens and I get some very, you know, good looking, you know, well dressed person. You know, one of the grungy guys, he's just sleeping in the back. He needs a break. You know. So that's what we're doing. That aspect of the Vedanta is just to create retraction, because we break it apart that you can't put the by, because when something's all together, that's when you can use it and the illusion is there. You analyze it apart, but once you've analyzed it, figure out what's the connection, then it works together. So you're breaking down the connections by the analyzation. That's why people, many times you see devotees are worried about the analyzation of things, because then it will take everything out of it and it'll be no fun and all the emotions gone and all the personal dealings and all that. That's if you don't use it properly. The point is to break down the material, but then put it back together again so then it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. So you break it down, show how it's bad, and then you put it back together as spiritual. Mm-hmm. But I just break it down and leave it that way. Then that's not good either. Then that's basically because I'm not enjoying it, so you shouldn't enjoy it either.
Yeah.
But so that's the thing, is that it'll take it apart, but it'll put it back together. So karma is nice because it's all put together and packaged nicely. And that gives the taste. Jnana is nice because it's all taken apart. But devotion is, you take it apart, you put it back together. You know, so that's, the karmis won't take it apart, the jnanis won't put it back together. So Buddha Yoga means you do both of that. Mm. Right. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Yeah. And also in there, it's just as a side point, just as a, on the Father Goose side of jokes, you know, then he said, the soul desires, Paramatma sanctions, and then he said, then Maya executes. So in connection with their point, you ever notice what she carries around is this
child.
Yeah, not a little one, it's big monster ones, you know, and those, that particular kind with a wide braid and they're rounded the way it is, those are specifically for head,
a scimitar.
Yeah, but it's got the straight and the scimitar, so it's even more crazy like that, so. Yeah.
Alright. So, in form of pradhan, this, all those elements, they're not so attractive.
That you can't even perceive them there.
Then when the Lord glances, then the whole manifestation.
No, then it comes out and they're separated. Then you get mahat. Mm-hmm. Right? Then from that, then he puts them together into all the forms of this world. You know what I'm saying? The principle is there. Then Brahma actually takes the elements and those blueprints of the forms and makes the forms we see. So mahat means, pradhan means it's just darkness. It's just, there's no, it's perfectly homogeneous. So you can't tell where it is, tell what it is. It's just pervading everywhere. Does that make sense? But then when the Lord glances, then it separates into its elements. And because he enters, then he creates all the forms and all that. But on the what do you call it? You know, the metaphysical platform. Brahma creates the physical platform. So the point is if you understand the metaphysical, you can understand the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they're thinking by studying the physical, I'll understand the metaphysical and the spiritual. You can't. Because you won't know why it's there. You can say, okay, dogs bark, but why do they bark? Why couldn't they moo? You know, or why don't they, depending on what it is, sometimes they bark, sometimes they moo. You know. You know, it's just they're made that way for a particular kind of, you know, experience. Yeah, and if you see any dogs mooing, it's also time to take a nap. You look in the mirror, there's no head, the dogs are mooing, go back to bed. Okay, note 6. Within the four divisions of human society, in other words, these notes are different aspects that you can gain from this. Okay, within the four divisions of human society are pious and impious souls. Both are fallible, but pious souls may become infallible. Impious souls fall ever lower into illusion. Right? So you can be performing it, means you can be performing a pious activity with an impious motive. Right, so you'll will degrade yourself. You will get the facility, but because the mentality is degraded, you will degrade yourself. Because when you get the facility, there's more most likely you're not going to perform piously with it.
And there's more possibility.
Yeah, you'll be impious. Mm. Right, so that's the whole point: is that just being pious isn't good enough.
So yeah. Is this similar to the saying that if you really want to go to hell fast, go to the dam? Or is this some other mechanics that are at work?
No, it's one way to do it. I would rather someone doesn't.
Yeah,
but as long as they do it on another side where I don't have to see it.
Of course.
You know, but yeah.
But actually, but pious work.
Is this also a Danish saying?
No. It was this conversation recently. I forget who it was.
Quoting from Beowulf? Or?
No.
No. No. Okay.
Not Kierkegaard either.
No?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I heard someone say it. I'm not sure the source.
Yeah, no, but Prabhupada mentions this, that someone who wants to, who's offensive, then by coming here, you can get much really? More the benefits of being offensive. Because, you know, how offensive can you be in the West?
Yeah, it's pretty normal, most of it.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. Yeah. So it's like you're going down the same rate everybody else is, you know. But if you really want to go down, then this is... Yeah. Okay, 7, 15, 16. Impious and pious fallible beings.
Oh, just on this point of pious souls may become infallible, isn't that saying that the pious soul has a greater qualification for bhakti?
No, the situation of piety is greater. See, the person is in this situation because piety. So what we're saying is, since devotion is engaging pious activities in the Lord's service, someone who is pious by nature, then it'll be very easy for them to engage in those things. While the impious has a tendency not to use pious forms and activities, so it'll be harder, you know, it is less tendency to take up devotional service. But the point is this, because the soul by nature is servant of Krishna, therefore the process of devotional service is inherent in every living entity. So if they are exposed to devotional service and that's their piety, right? In other words, the Jnata Sukriti is the piety. Right? So then they're a pious soul. Devotionally, materially no, but devotionally yes. Then they can take up the process. Because the impious, they're not interested in piety. There's no attraction. But that's why the devotees go out and you're dealing with something transcendental. So it doesn't necessarily... In other words, if you're not judging it on the material platform, because it's beyond, then you're going to get benefit. Right?
Connecting it to your example of the nice people at the yoga studio versus the guys at the dockyard.
Right. Means what we're saying is that would be a different perspective, I think, that they're taking here. Because you see is that four kinds of pious souls surrender and four kinds of impious don't. So what we were meaning, that was in relationship to not so much of piety and impiety as the New Age element is connected with, you know, things that are esoteric, metaphysical, Eastern. So they'll be more open to hearing, you know, a lecture on Gita or, you know, like this, Nectar Devotion, discussing devotional bhakti yoga, than, let's say, necessarily the person down at the dock. You know, does that make sense? That it was in connection with that. It's not a matter of piety and impiety, because there's every chance the guy at the dock is more religious and more morally sound than the person at the yoga studio. Mm-hmm. You know, like that. As a person, we were saying, giving the example of that the New Age element can be an advantage in the way of. It means one is willing to hear in that area. That's where its strength is. But that can also be where that good quality ends. Mm-hmm. While the person at the dock, he's going to be a very practical person. Right? So, because of the nature of it, it may be too foreign or seem too theoretical. So he'll have a tendency to not be too attracted. But if somehow or another, by good fortune, he does, being a practical person, he will apply it. So there's every chance that he will probably use it better or quicker than the person at the yoga studio. You know what I'm saying? At the same time as the person at the yoga studio, if he is a professional who is practical, then he could use it, and he, because of his intelligence, and his, then he'll be able to do so much with it and help so many people. You know what I'm saying? So it's very, very individual. Each one has its strength and weakness. So depending upon which aspect of the vichar you're bringing out, then you bring out a certain aspect. Because each one has its advantage and has its disadvantage. That's the problem with material. There's always an advantage and a disadvantage. Well, spiritual, there's only advantage. Right? You know, there isn't a disadvantage. You know, it's just like the gopis are out at night with Krishna and everybody else is asleep thinking of Krishna. Right, and in the day they're not with Krishna, everybody else is with Krishna, but then they're awake thinking of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's either with Krishna or thinking of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So there's no situation that's good or bad. But in the material world, then there is good and bad situations. So that's the thing. So depending what angle you're taking, then one will have something that'll be good. You know, it's just like you say, the guy at the dock, there's a good chance he's on one level more personal, less sophisticated, more gross, but more personal. He'll take the personal interaction more seriously. And if you do something, you know, where he trusted you and you didn't live up to that, it's going to hurt him more.
It's going to hurt you more.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's going to hurt everybody more. Yeah, so, but the guy at the yoga studio may not, because they're so used to that kind of world that it may not bother. You know, it won't bother them so much. It'll bother them, but it's going, you know, they can tend to be a little bit more impersonal. You know what I'm saying? So each situation has this mix. That's why there's no situation that's better and no situation that's worse. In reality, when it comes to devotional service, when it comes to varnashram, yes, there's better and worse situations. But in devotional service, any situation can be connected because there's always some advantage there. So you're connecting the advantage, which is the pious side. Like when we mentioned it, he's more personal, right? So that's that aspect is what connects the impersonal with the other side. That's not there. But that the others are into, you know, broad-minded, then that's the superior quality that represents Krishna. While the closed-mindedness of the other, then that will be the lack of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So each one is manifesting some quality that is a superior quality. So it's through that superior quality that you cultivate. You see God through that, because that's your values. So it doesn't matter where they are. So that's why if you think, oh yeah, we have our formula for preaching and that's it, that works with a particular group or a particular situation. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you have to understand the principle. Then you can work with anybody. Because the principle is whatever their conditioning, connect that to Krishna. But look for the superior qualities. We'll just try to get down and jive with them or something like that. But it's not a matter of that. It's about what's the value in it. You know what I'm saying? The guys are sitting around in a bunch of Harleys, but why? There's something about why would they do that? Why not, you know, some, you know, why not a Suzuki? You know what I'm saying? But if you go with the next group, they all have Japanese bikes. None of them have a Harley. You know what I'm saying? So what is it about? What is they're looking for? That's the value. That's what you got to preach on. But you may start with the form to get at the value. But once you got to the value, because that's the superior quality, you connect that to Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the form is only to get at the value. So you discuss the form until you find something. Then you get you connect it to Krishna. But just by sitting down and talking the form and all that, it's kind of like, why would they want to talk to you about the form? They already have each other to talk with about the form, and they know more anyway. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nithai Gaura Premanandi.